This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Forget no way they crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget no way they sold Marcus Garvey for rice. I'll never forget.
Good afternoon, one and all. It's still February, the month of love. Our year is just really beginning. But already we're seeing definition from day to day. We're beginning to shape up for the year 2025. And the time is actually going very quickly. I think this is the year of purpose. This is the year when whatever you put your mind to do, whatever you put your hand to do, you better do it with all your might. And as one says in the Word of God, you better do it quickly. Because time doesn't seem to be as it used to be. The days are still bright here in the Bahamas. It's still sunny weather outside. And for those of you who are tuning in with us, continue to keep it tuned in to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM here. This is the program Remark. And I am your host, Garth Roseborough. And of course, you know you missed the guy that is on my right side always, Mr. Darvin Russell. He's here today. I'm going to let him bring you greetings in just a few minutes. But I also want to quickly let you know that I have a special surprise guest for you as we explore the whole idea of freedom of information and freedom of people. Where are we really heading? Are we going back into the enslavement era where secrets are being kept and many of us kept in the dark? Or are we now prepared to truly tell the truth and liberate this country? Some years ago, I had the opportunity when I was early in the radio business. Many of you may not have even known that, but we were in a different space on Carmichael Road. And, you know, I started off with Austin Bodie. He was the first person to call me. And then Lady Russell called me at ZNS. And then I was honored to be invited by a young man who I didn't expect to call me, but he has always been a friend to me. He's been a brother, Mr. Lincoln Bain. And many of you may know him in either which way that you do know him, but this I do know about him. He is tenacious, he's ferocious, he is steadfast, he is purposed, and he's a man who is driven. And today he has agreed to join me today as he is having an event that is coming in very short order. And I figured I owed him at least the decency as a former comrade on the radio and someone who has supported me in the beekeeping business as well as when we dealt with issues of theology with tithe and offering, etc. I could at least do that. I'm a decent man. I try to be a decent man. And I don't forget friends. I'm a loyal person to my friends, but God help you when you go against me. Like those tenants who don't want to pay you your rent and catch you running up and down, back and forward, boy, looking for you. But the numbers today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from our family of islands, 242-300-5720, or you can text at 422-4796. Today we're going to deal with freedom of information. You know, is it something that is true or is it false? Is this an actuality or is this just a myth? Darvin Russell, how are you feeling today? So you were on vacation last time. We missed you. You know, I know you have a lovely family, but I tell you, the female supporters of Remark were telling me, where the heck is Darvin Russell? And I said, well, you know, he ain't far. He's listening abroad, but you're back in studio today, sir.
Back in studio, Garth. Good afternoon, Bahamas. Good afternoon to my Remark audience. Thank you. I appreciate being missed. It's always nice to be missed. So, yeah, I had some much-needed R&R. take some time away, visited my family in Florida. So, yeah, I'm back in the saddle today, Garth. Happy to be here, sitting with you in Lincoln today to have hopefully a robust conversation about these matters.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Mr. Lincoln Bain, no one needs to speak about you. No one needs to introduce you. You are the voice of change, they call it. And I'll go right ahead, my brother. I really want to dedicate at least the first 10 to 15 minutes of this program to inform us as to what is happening with you. I know you gave me and some other Guardian radio host a special invitation to attend your upcoming event. So I just figured I'd just go ahead and allow you to invite others. I'll go right ahead, Mr. Lincoln Bain.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been quite some time since I've been in the studio, my home, one time ago.
I know. You never invited me here, though.
I know, right? But I thank you for having me here. And it's your show.
Well, it ain't my show. It's the Bahamian People show. You've always stood and said it's all about the Bahamas, and I want to stand with you on that. This is all about the Bahamas. We're going to have even Mr. Ruben Ramey, our senator, to come in and join us. He's going to assist us with this Freedom of Information conversation. But Mr. Lincoln Bain, this event you're having at Fusion, The last time we saw you at Fusion, it was at a church service, and the pastor was making some remarks, and I was almost astonished. I'll be very frank with you. When I heard that you're going to also be having your Vision 2030 also to be at Fusion, but not only is that correct?
Yes, it's going to be at Fusion Super Blacks.
Vision 2030. And then guess what else knocked me off of my rockers?
Uh-huh.
What I saw, you can be on ZNS for 2.5 hours. I said, well, who does that, you know? So, Mr. Lincoln Bain, tell us about Vision 2030. Just give us a synopsis why we should be there. I think it's an open public invitation. Am I correct?
Yes, it's open to everybody. It's free to be there. I saw because it's at Fusion, some people asked me, how much is it going to cost? I was like, no, it's free of charge. What we're doing is we're going to be the first political party to release a vision for this nation. And I'm not just talking about, you know, these little five-year manifestos that people do. I'm talking about a real vision for this nation. And so, good to see you, man. We're going to be doing that because our nation seems rudderless. We seem to be just adrift and we don't know what's going on. And we seem to be adrift in shark-infested waters and we're losing people from our boat every day. And so what this country needs is real vision. And that's what people have been crying out for, but we just keep going back and forth voting for no vision. Mm-hmm. And if we keep doing that, we're going to suffer. So we put together something years ago called Vision 2025, which was to show how we could benefit from our natural resources. But now we are releasing a comprehensive plan that's going to blow everyone's mind. This is a real vision to take this country forward. I call it the 100-year plan.
A 100-year plan?
I call it the 100-year
plan. That sounds almost like the Oriental people who plan for 100 years, huh?
Yeah, so basically what it is it isn't literally what we're going to do for the next 100 years because no one can predict what's going to happen 20 years from now. If you were in the 80s trying to predict what's going to happen 30 years from then, you couldn't predict the internet and its impact in the 90s. And so you couldn't predict the impact of AI now. And so you can't really plan for 100 years because you don't know what's going to happen. Because someone in some garage somewhere is basically going to determine what happens in the future. But what this plan does is empowers Bahamians to be the persons to determine their future. This is going to be the first plan that's focused on the people of this nation. And it is going to take power from the politician and give it to the people. Because what happens is we depend on, you know, 12, 15 persons in the cabinet to determine everything that happens in the whole nation. We are going to stop that. And we are going to give the people real power with city government everywhere, including in Nassau, so that the people determine what happens in their community. And so this plan is gonna empower all people. We're going to benefit from our natural resources. And that is going to empower all Bahamians, black, the white, all of them. Even the oligarchs are going to benefit. Some of them are afraid of me. You know, they feel like, you know, I want them to be gone. No, they are Bahamians. We are going to empower all Bahamians, and that's what this plan is about. But it's going to put Bahamians in a position to determine what happens to them for the next 100 years.
Well, this one is going to be a very interesting show. As a matter of fact, some years ago when I first encountered Mr. Lincoln Bain personally, you know, used to hear about him and Controversy TV, et cetera, with Utah Taylor Roll, and used to watch them. And, you know, I said, you know, what would be interesting to go on a show with him. Actually, we started talking about independent candidacy and a move towards true independence some time back together. I was actually there. You know, there was some discussion. We had our friend back then, Bannister, Attention, attention. He was still alive and doing well at the time. He was on the show with us. We also had Omar Archer. He was also there. Those were the good days of Peter Johnson, The Watchman, and so on. What I want to really delve into, though, today is that when we talk about the freedom of information, you know, being a theological mind, I immediately went back to the book of Genesis, where we had this tree of good and evil. And this whole tree of knowledge, where do we really truly want to know the government knows, or is the government attempting to protect us from information that may be hazardous to our own sovereignty here in the Bahamas? We have joining us right now Mr. Reuben Ramming, who has been former member of parliament, who is now presently serving as a senator. Mr. Reuben Ramming is a community person, very active, a businessman. And Mr. Reuben Ramming, if you would take the mic and let us know this whole idea of Bahamianization, true Bahamianization that Mr. Lincoln Bain is speaking about. He's bringing it to the forefront. How easy do you feel this is going to be in terms of us as a people actually overcoming the obstacles that are preventing us from knowing what we need to know and being what we need to be?
Hey. Hi, everybody. Brother Bain.
Hi, brother.
Good to see you all here today.
Same here.
Mutton fish season is going to start, right?
Yeah, but look, he's doing bees today.
Yeah, Johnson for mutton fish season. Listen here. It's good to be here. Good afternoon to everybody and under the sound of my voice. You were speaking about the freedom of information.
Yes, sir.
And then you were talking about Bahamianization. You know, every time I hear the word Bahamianization, especially since independence, the statement in and of itself, though it had a good political cliche and ring to it, actually the statement itself is problematic. You know, that's like going to somebody who already owned a thing and say, I can give you priority in the thing you own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you really think about it, it is almost as problematic as that crazy statement that they say, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If it's my cake, what the problem is with me eating my cake?
but
you get what I'm saying? And so the thrust that has been used with it generally politically has been, in my opinion, something that leads to people getting carrots and crumbs while missing out of the whole dinner table, five-course meals, because at the end of the day, people are led to feel satisfied in a frustrated environment by token things when they belong, they own all things behemoth. So the mere fact that you come into me in my house is worse than Columbus coming here with a flag and come into your living room, move your TV on the side, stick a flag in it and say, I discovered you and you weren't lost. The thing about it is we just simply need to ensure that Bahamian people realize the ownership of their commonwealth, which is already theirs. And it should not even be in a sense of an affirmative action kind of thing. Brother, this already has. The problem with that stems from our educational system, training our people to understand what is theirs, how it belongs, how their system work, how their country work, even how their government work, how all these other mechanisms work so they can become top of their game to know how to be able to monopolize things, and also to temper what is our praise, lust, and drive for foreign investments and investors, though necessary, but at the expense of minimizing the entrepreneurship, the opportunities for Bahamian investors. I'll stop at this point because that was just an opening salvo question. You've heard the statement that they put out the red carpet for foreign investors,
okay,
and then he put in the red tape for our Bahamian citizens.
Okay.
You see? So there is an environment that is created that even now, so although that was a catchphrase for Sir Lyndon Pinden, the whole point of Bahamianization still is to me personally, almost an insult because it's mine already. It's mine already. I'm not trying to get my stuff from apartheid and get back. No, this is already ours. We're already independent. And we've been doing this for 50 years. Why aren't we better at it?
You know, today, you know, I'm going to do some challenging today because, as it was some time ago, I questioned the whole idea, Darwin Russell, about us really truly being independent. Mm-hmm. We came from a situation of colonization. I look at the region, and this is something Lincoln Bain, I'll even allow you to address, because you may even know. But I let Darwin take a crack at it. But let me take this call quickly before I go down that road with you. Caller, go ahead. Caller?
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Hi, Garth.
Hey, how you doing? Sounds
Nico
like my...
Moscow, how are you?
Go ahead, Mr. Moscow.
I'm just intrigued. This COI was in my neighborhood in Killarney, and substandard. They couldn't answer questions. And what I've been told, this is allegedly, that the intent of the COI is to be divisive and break up the votes between the FNM and PLP.
Who would have said that?
I'd like to ask this gentleman, Lincoln Bain, this fact?
Well, I don't want to go off on that.
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I can answer that.
But Mr. Bain, go ahead, Mr. Bain.
Let him know, because I've got a retort to it.
Go ahead.
Right. So that's a good question. We have zero interest in dividing any votes between the PLP.
And what is this 2030? Where do you get the money from?
Are you going to let me answer the question?
No. I'm asking these things because guys like
me... Let me answer the first question.
...are going to address you.
Okay. Right, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, I have no problem with that.
No, you better... You need to be concerned.
Okay, yes, let's go to the first question.
I go live every Sunday at 5 o'clock on my page, my pages, to answer questions just like that.
Answer the question.
So the question is, Mr. Moscow, we are not interested in... Yes, we're not interested in dividing the vote between anybody. We're not into dividing the vote between the PLP and FNM.
Mr. Moscow.
I'm not interested.
That's the right name, right?
Yeah, Mr. Moscow.
Yeah, let's let the brother speak.
Okay.
And then we'll pick up your second question.
Yeah, Mr. Moscow, we are interested in one thing. A Bahamas for Bahamians. A Bahamas where Bahamians are first. That's all Bahamians. That's black, white, PLP, FNM, everyone. We are tired of only FNMs eating when the FNM is in power and the PLP suffering. We're tired of the vice versa. We are ready for Bahamians to benefit in this country. And that's all people. That's even the Moscows. That's the Hollow West Coast. That's the Seminets. And that's the people in Bayntown and in the ghetto.
That's what we're interested in.
But we are not... here to divide any votes. We are here to offer people an alternative, and that's what democracy is about. And we should be proud of that.
That's how you divide the votes.
All right? So we are an alternative, and we believe that as is happening in many countries around the world, in Canada, you saw that Trudeau is a third party, and they didn't divide the vote. They won. You saw what happened in the Cayman Islands. All independents won. They got rid of the government and the opposition in the Cayman Islands recently. All right.
In the Cayman Islands, how recent was that?
That was during the lockdowns. Okay. And so we believe that Bahamians need an alternative, that they are tired. Some are tired of the back and forth, and they want an alternative. Even if the worst case scenario is, let's say we don't win the government, which I believe we're going to win, but let's say we don't. If they could have a champion for the Bahamian people or champions for the Bahamian people in the House of Assembly to hold the government accountable, that would help. We need more options in there and some people who are not tied to the FNM or PLP who can actually speak up on all issues. We are here for the Bahamian people, my brother, and that includes PLPs and FNMs.
Okay, but I think that's probably good news to many because right now I'm getting a lot of reports, even myself personally, Darwin Russell, that many people are tired. Someone actually stopped in front of my home yesterday blowing their horn. You know, I don't do the horn thing, right? Mm-hmm. But it was a young man who I've actually inspired to get started. And he started from a dinghy, a small little dinghy. He used to go in this little inflatable dinghy, Reuben.
Yeah, yeah.
And there used to be like five of them in Fox Hill, right there in Fox Hill, right there through the corner where the church is there by Fred Mitchell's, the little center there. Right. I mean, drug-infested fellas him all over the place. But I went to this one young man, Lincoln Bain and Darwin Russell, and I said to him, man, you can do this. And they were taking this little inflatable dinghy, and they didn't even have no motor. They used to go row there by Paradise Island, catch a little catch and come home. Now he has a charter boat. And he says, I said to him, man, congratulations. But guess what happened to him on Friday?
Right.
He just got his boat freshly sprayed again. You know, he's making good money. Got it sprayed all over. He didn't have his hard card with him, so they confiscated his boat on Friday. Defense Force has his boat. He won't get it until Monday when he presents his hard card. But this is our young people on the streets, you know. There wasn't no leniency, encouragement. Okay, have your hard card next time.
I know who you're talking about. Roma Street.
Yeah, now you go. Now you go. And he said, Daddy, Garth, I so frustrated. But he said, but one day I came by your house because you continue to inspire me to do better. And I says, man, listen, it's going to be okay. Come Monday, you're going to be just fine. So he mentioned Mr. Lincoln Bain to me, believe it or not, a young person. So I'm just saying that to say that people are watching, people are listening, people are paying attention, people are looking for alternatives to PLP and FNM. But of course, there are also going to be some great candidates in the PLP, and there are going to be some great candidates in the FNM. What we're looking for, as Mr. Bain just said a while ago, we're looking for people who are prepared to fight for this country. We need to identify these individuals who are prepared to fight for this country. I don't want to veer too far away from this whole idea of freedom of information, Mr. Russell. Mm-hmm. But if you want to just follow up on what Mr. Bain is saying, you can feel free to do so.
No, thank you, Garth. So when I think about freedom of information, I think the U.S. has had it, according to the records, since 67. I think our legislation was passed in 2017, if memory serves me correct, but has yet to be operationalized. And I think recently the Prime Minister spoke about it not necessarily being a priority for him in this current administration.
Mm-hmm.
You have to question really the seriousness with which we take these matters as a country. On the one hand, we talk about transparency, and on the other hand, when push comes to shove, transparency goes out the window. We seem to be very selective with our memories, our approaches, and our adherence to law about matters when we think that they're going to affect us negatively. I'll deviate a little bit to the point that you made about the young man with the boat. It's funny that, I was just watching something on Facebook the other day that echoes a similar sentiment to that story. And it was a little boy, I think he was in Chicago, selling hot dogs in the front of his home. And according to the city, you're required to have a permit to do that.
Mm-hmm.
One of his next door neighbors, who was upset with the increased traffic because the little boy had gotten his hot dog cart had gone viral, she reported him to the authorities multiple times. And so they came out, they did their job, they caused him to pack up his hot dog van. And then that story went viral, that they caused him to pack up. But there was something else the police did that is unusual. And what the police did was they went back to the boy and helped him get his permit.
Mm.
After his permit was issued, they promoted his hot dog stand. The young man has multiple hot dog stands now and is under the age of 17 and is a very successful young entrepreneur.
Mercy.
I tell you that story to encourage the young man that while the police did their job and it was accurate and it was correct and you were in violation of the law, with power comes responsibility. With power comes a degree of humility and wisdom that the police should have, could have exercised in your matter. The fact that they didn't, however, should not deter you from learning this important lesson about business and life. And the lesson is, if you do it right, it really doesn't matter what the others who may be doing it wrong are doing. Take that as inspiration for you to fuel your next boat, the boat after that, the fleet of boats that you will have, and all of the captains in your boats will have your license. So whenever they get pulled over, this will never happen to you again. So I wouldn't want people to take these matters lightly. I think oftentimes in this country, when we see a misapplication of the law or where the application of the law is only for Garth and not for Darvin, only for Reuben and not for Lincoln, I think that's that disingenuous nature by which our legal authorities seem to apply the law is what frustrates Bahamians. And hopefully a full enactment of the Freedom of Information will allow us access to some of the very information that we need to hold our government's feet further to the fire. So I'll yield the mic to
Reuben, yeah. And then Mr. Lincoln.
You strike a very interesting chord, and I know the impact, especially from the young man, and you're right on how he actually started.
Yes.
Tevin
Newbold. He said, call his name, Tevin Newbold.
And not only that, the discretionary measure for the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, obviously it wouldn't be giving him his boat back if it was something illegal like drugs, firearms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And there would be an easier ways to do it. I think even now with our driver's license, although the Marine law is slightly different. I mean, you have a certain time to submit your thing to that. But to confiscate a boat like that, and no legal grouper, no legal fish, nothing else, I mean, we don't know the full details, is a fact being overbearing. So it must be some sort of a policy shift that would have occurred, because you and I, we're boaters. that's a strange thing,
yes,
to happen unless you got caught with something or was suspected of something. And then on top of that, we've seen how the government, through its oppressive tax, has been taxing the marine environment, especially for yes. behemoth fishermen and pleasure cruisers, at the expense of crediting the foreign boats that comes in, instead of taxing them more appropriately. And so we've seen that happening. And this also ties even to the point, this marine environment thing, to the Freedom of Information Act, because we see right now, I've seen reports and documentation as relate to the fact that this administration had given to an American who used to be an advisor for the Exuma Parks. And they brought him in, and he used to work with the government. This coming back down to basically what the spirit is saying, to advise on all the Exuma Parks, the same place
mm-hmm.
where they launch in SpaceX rockets, mm-hmm. Very near to our pristine parks.
Mm-hmm.
No regulations, no anything, mm-hmm. no concessionary plan, nothing in place for safety whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all know, if somebody take the time to Google it, the single most largest polluting piece of machinery are those rocket ships, as far as they contributing to global warming and stuff. What they could do within a few minutes, it would take the whole Commonwealth of Bahamas probably 50 years to generate all of that. And we're doing 20 of them one time in our thing. Yet the prime minister running around the world telling people we've been, yes, true, destroyed by hurricane because y'all global warming destroying us. We don't produce no emissions. We need help. We need money. We need resources and everything else. He's saying that, but yet for nothing, not even a warm bowl of porridge, you have these rockets now launching right in the middle of our pristine waters, in the middle of our national park. And then on top of that, you turn it around and you give an American who was here working with the national parks, you realize, my dude, all these foreign boats come here and one anchor, and now you gave him access to 253 mooring, exclusive right, mooring rights throughout the Exuma National Park. So now an American owned the right that when we come in our little luxury boat, because see, we ain't behaving in the sea, we cruise into the Bahamian water, these are designated places where you could legally moor and pay to moor within the national park. So someone owned that. Freedom of Information would have had this accessible. And not only that, as you relate to things in terms of procurement and seeking, accepting bids for these things should have been exposed ahead of time for persons to do that. You mean to tell me there's no set of people in Exuma alone who live in that area say, you know something, we could do that and we could manage this and collect that revenue right there within there. But no, we had to give it to an American.
This is why.
Not we. Oh, forget that. We in this room. No, Davis administration, because Lincoln ain't do it, I ain't do it, and you sure y'all ain't do it. They gave that, kept it secret, and now it's out because the fella done promoting this to the next Florida boat show that I get the right for parking anywhere in Exuma. You got to pay me if you want to bring it.
This takes us back. This takes us back to the Freedom of Information Act.
This is what I want to get back to, yes.
It's very important.
Yes.
And, it's also connected to the... Oh, well, we
got
to go to
commercial break. Let me throw these numbers here. Folks, I got Lincoln Bain in the house. I got Reuben Ramming, Darvin Russell, myself, Garth Roseborough. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720. Or you can text at 422-4796. Just give us a call. Thank you for calling in, Nico Mosco, and we'll continue this conversation. We'll be right back.
escalating global conflicts? Are you ready for what's next? Join us at RF Bahamas Economic Outlook on March 12th at Bahamar, where top global and local experts will break down the key economic, political, and social trends shaping our future. Hear from KT McFarland, former Trump National Security Advisor, and more. Plus, gain CPD credits, powerful insights, and high-impact networking all in one day. Don't miss out. Secure your spot now at rfbeo.com. That's rfbeo.com. RF Bahamas Economic Outlook. See you there.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you looking for a fresh experience? Look no further than Fresh Market. Our store is stocked with the freshest produce, meats, and dairy, all sourced locally and internationally for the best quality. With our commitment to freshness and our friendly associates, your shopping experience is sure to be a breeze. Come visit Fresh Market today and taste the difference freshness can make.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Okay, folks, we're back. We're back. This is Remark here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's just a privilege to have you here with us. Just want to continue to shout out to the Guardian staff and management and you, the Bahamian people who make this program possible. Feel free to be a part of Remark. Just find out how you can just be a sponsor for this show. We want to continue as we have great conversations as we're having today. Mr. Lincoln Bain was just about to say something to us, and I just wanted to prick him just a little bit before we got back, and we were just tuned in by our producer. But Mr. Bain, let me tell you what amazes me as you were about to speak with the Freedom of Information, right? I'm looking at Bermuda, who is a British colony. I'm looking at the Cayman Islands, which is also a British colony. I'm looking at Turks and Caicos Islands, which are also a British colony. I know that we are, in quote, a former British colony. I do not believe Bermuda has an immigration issue, and I'm certain, as I've visited the Cayman Islands, they do not have an immigration issue. However, for some odd reason, the Turks and Caicos Islands have an immigration issue, and we here in the Bahamas definitely have an immigration issue.
Yeah.
We have a Royal Bahamas Police Force. We have a Royal Bahamas Defense Force. I emphasize the word royal because I believe there's some obligation in this light. We have an immigration department that doesn't operate the same as the Cayman Islands or Bermuda operates. But for some reason, Turks and Caicos and ourselves, there are what they call glitches in our system that allow these things to take place where illegals can overrun and take advantage of a system. I'm going to allow Mr. Lincoln to talk more about the freedom of information. But I think this is one of the things that his vision 2030 may seek to fix, because there has to be a way where we can govern and we can police those who come in. And then when we talk about freedom of information, we should be able to look into the immigration books and find out under which criteria Mr. Lincoln Bain, Darwin Russell Reuben Ramming, that these people are coming in on and being authorized. Even so, I've heard, Mr. Bain, that before they've even boarded the plane to come to the Bahamas for the first time, that some of them may allegedly have passports and can't speak a lick of English. Mr. Bain.
Well, I'll start with the first thing, one thing at a time, because all is related to the Freedom of Information Act. And, freedom, you can't have a proper society without freedom of information. You can't function properly. That's like your body not communicating. If your body isn't communicating, wherever there's a block, you're going to have paralysis. But Mr. Moscow asks a very good question. He asks a second question: where are you going to get the money from for this Vision 2030? That's a very good question. I was chomping at the beats to touch on that a little bit, but y'all was doing your thing. You see, right now, Bahamians don't know how much money we have. Name one Bahamian who knows how much money we have in the Treasury. I released the documents a few weeks ago on my show because I have documents from the Treasury and Central Bank, but Bahamians don't know how much money we have. They don't know how much money is really being spent. So how could you say we don't have the money if you just don't know?
You know what baffles me?
How can you say you don't have the money, but every time the government wants to find money to spend on something, they spend it? Money pairs.
You remember when they said that with the unions, they were finding ways and means to pay the union people the money so they owed them, mm-hmm. but then they turn around, they're going to hire almost 500 people who have formerly mm-hmm. been retired.
Yeah.
This is what you're talking about.
Yeah. Go ahead. So the government has money. Let me put this in perspective for you. We make $3 billion a year in our country. This year, they're projecting to make $3.5 billion with a B. We have money. Last year, about 720 million of that went to interest. It's normally around about 500,000 and raised to 600. Now it's to 720 was for interest. All right? That leaves you with billions of dollars to do what you need to do. The problem in our country is corruption. One, they keep secrets because they don't want you to know how it works. That $3.5 billion is going to be siphoned from our public treasury by corruption. How does that work? They give contracts to their cronies. Their cronies inflate what it is, and then they give a part to the politician, and the part goes to them. That has been happening from time to time.
We've always said that this is alleged. We've always said that this is just suspicion.
Of course, anyone who participates in the contract process knows the amount of shakedowns you go through. If you have received the government contract to get your check, all right? I have dealt with cases where stuff like this have come up. We have seen it, all right, in certain instances in this country. But it's always hush-hush because that's how they operate. So we have the money to do what we need to do, but they spend the money on nonsense. Every single administration that comes in, the opposition is showing you how they're wasting the people's money, how they are scandalously wasting the people's money. We have money if we would spend the money properly. So, for example, Singapore. Singapore has one of the worst debt ratios in the world. I think they're number six worst in debt, right? But they're still a AAA rating. You know why? Because they can only acquire debt for something the country can make money from. So good debt. So like you can go into debt to buy a fourplex, but if that's good debt. But if you go into debt to go shopping in Las Vegas, that's bad debt.
Mm.
All right. So Singapore invests their money with debt. That's how Dubai started out. They invested their money. When they found the oil, they only had a little bit of oil. So they found out with the quantity they had, and then they got a loan on that and started investing in stuff that could last longer than the oil, which was tourism, etc. And now they have tens of millions of tourists while we bragging about just getting to 10 million.
Wow.
And we've been in this for a very long time.
Wow.
And so we have a lot of things we have access to. We have natural resources. If Mr. Moscow is a Moscow, and I know he's connected to Guardian, but if Mr. Moscow is a Moscow, he knows about the natural resources. All right? The natural resources are here.
Well, that's a discussion in and of itself. I would do that on another show.
The freedom of information is the problem. They're not telling you how much money we have. They're not telling you about our natural resources. They denied it for many years. Mr. Christie went even internationally and said the Bahamas doesn't have any natural resources. All of us remember that. But when we started revealing the truth, we see that there are natural resources.
Revealing is information.
Yes. And so black we have carbon white. Credits. Before election, they said Lincoln Bain is selling dreams. Carbon credits isn't real. That's a scam. Now that's all they're talking about. All of a sudden, it's real. You see? And so who are you going to believe? The people who have been lying to you? Or someone who's been telling you the truth and exposing what's been going on. So where's the money going to come from? It's going to come from our natural resources. We're going to finally benefit from them. When Ruben Raming and the FNM was in power, Carl Bethel stood up in the Senate and he said that the cosmetic industry is making billions and billions of dollars. He was expressive in it. You know, he's cool. He's not normally expressive. Billions of dollars from our flora and fauna. And Bahamas is getting not $1 for it. I'm like, what? And that has come and gone, and no one has asked, what's this flora and fauna he was talking about as Attorney General?
Lincoln is correct with the statement, but also we passed a law
which
also ensure that we protect our interests with our flora and fauna. Even our bush medicine now is protected. People don't realize that we have been, as a country, very sloppy in protecting our assets. And natural resources, I think President Lincoln will agree, is not just aragonite and so on and so forth.
No.
It is a
every natural element is.
John Canoe is a natural resource as well. And now we just finally copyright Junk New. We just finally did a lot of different type things because we let it grow. I'll end with this quick example because I don't want to break his trend. But when something said, you want to bring balance to it. So we did put laws in place that first jammed that. So you can't come back here, tap into our Bush medicine, get one formula, and go into Bohemian people, get no money. That part is fixed. But I'll give you a final example why we need to copyright and secure us a lot of our things. The last musical instrument and instrument that was produced in the last century was the steel pan. You know, that was produced in Trinidad a long time.
Yes.
But the people played, but nobody ever sit there and copyrighted. Mm-hmm. Some fella decided he can copyright it. Now he won the copyright to the steel pan. He ain't got nothing to produce it. The final example, this other guy, I forgot his name, went through hell to discover the Titanic. And he got all spiritual and thing, I'm not going to touch anything and video it. The whole world know that he did it. Sky followers go out there, go on down there, lift the bell off the ship, and guess who owns it? The second guy.
Yeah.
Because you got to claim these, you got to market for the laws of the sea. And I think that's part of the value what Lincoln's saying, to locking into what we're actually doing and taking rights of it to be able to stop the piracy.
Okay.
Now, here's where the problem...
Let me just say this quick call there, Lincoln. I don't want to break your thought, but I got to take this call quickly. Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Gentlemen, I'm back on the radio. I heard two words, scam and copyright. Now, copyright is something totally separate and apart from patent. Yeah, so patent. You're wrong with that.
No, I wasn't wrong with that. I was moving quickly, skipping across the two. And so I said, we bit law.
I'm a lawyer. I know you are.
But I said, we did put legislation in place to be able to protect
copyright.
The resources. You see what I'm saying?
Copyright.
You know?
Yeah, you're correct. It's patent, not copyright.
Yeah.
A slip of the tongue.
It
doesn't exist. The other thing is the scam in terms of Freedom of Information Act. All of you sitting at that table are highly educated, I would think. It's not going to happen. Because what is the true salt of the earth is what you don't know, you don't see. And you're talking about this, it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. This is how the government exists. Now, when you actually vote these people in, you elate them from simpletons to regal. And there is nothing that stops you from addressing them when they do wrong. Now, this is what you need to understand. The dialogue is merely dialogue. That's it. No more, no less. The laws have to change. Now, if they do something wrong, you're not going to see, and saying that you know what's in the Treasury, garbage. The fact of the matter is, you know nothing. We know nothing. And until such time as the laws allow us to do what they need, for us to see what is going on, this is where the imbalance occurs. Now, it gets even more complicated. Then you have third parties coming in and saying, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Don't have the money. Unfortunately, they don't have the money. And the answer to the question, where are you getting this money for the 2030? I don't believe a damn thing, anything is being said. It's just placation to the Bahamian people. Men like me, get it done. And I challenge you to get it done. And that's the bottom line.
If I'm going to let Mr. Bain respond to that. Mr. Bain says that he knows, he has some information. We're talking about the freedom of information. We know that information is not free in this country. We've seen where the government has been spending, but there's no accountability, no transparency. We have seen where the government has promised that this would have been in the forefront. And then we've also heard the same government say that it's not a priority.
there is a ping pong game at work in that particular incident. And now we're hearing from one of the third parties, the strongest of the third parties, I do believe, and what is now the alternative or option to the governance that we now know, saying to us that we deserve to know and that they want to ensure that we do know. Mr. Bain, you want to answer Mr. Moscow?
Yeah, I think me and Mr. Moscow are saying basically the same thing. I think he misunderstood me. I am saying that it's unfair that Bahamians don't know what's in the treasury. All right, it's unfair that we don't know what's going on. We don't know how much money they got paid to allow SpaceX to do their landing in the Bahamas. We don't know how much someone got paid to get the seabed. How much they really got? How much they paid? And so we're not getting information. So I agree with him. And we did not get Freedom of Information Act under the PLP. We did not get it under the FNM. We're not getting it now again. Under the PLP. And so
the FNM did pass that, and then during COVID threw us off, we allotted the first tranche of, I think it was a little over $1 million to start preparing the public service to be able to execute the Freedom of Information Act. That could not have been done unless there was an act that is in place. Listen clearly to Fred Mitchell. He called that act, I'm paraphrasing, inefficient and not good. So don't mean that he could only say that if there was something actually in place. And the public service needed to be shown how to operate in this environment. So movement was made on it. It was in place. Money was allotted to start mobilizing it and training the people to be able to facilitate it when you come in there. The last thing, this came out of Mr. Moscow rather quickly, about the freedom of information. We need to be careful of selling this as a panacea because information is also a matter of national security. So I don't want it to get in behemoth people's ears that means everything that go on in government, you're supposed to know or so-called, per se, have a right to know. Because, like you said, we're not independent, we're interdependent, and the wrong set of information. Cabinet ministers themselves are sworn to an oath of secrecy. In that, and that oath carries with them even when they leave. So for government, part of what Mr. Moscow implied, is a necessity for secrecy. We just saying this blatant disregard of reasonable information that people should have. We should be able to have access to this, and then you state clearly in law the procedure and the timeline. If I got to wait 10 years for a certain type of information, then say it's 10 years, but right now, we black out. We don't even know what in the hell is the deal with SpaceX and the rocket's red flare, bomb bursting in the air, particles being found in our water, wreckage being found in our waters and other places happening right now. Sonic booms coming all the way to Nassau and stuff, and we don't know nothing.
But Mr. Ramming, let me get back to mm-hmm. what the issue is. I said that the PLP nor the FNM delivered. Excuses are tools of incompetence that build upon monuments of nothingness, and those who specialize in using them seldom accomplish anything. And so we don't want to hear that the government needed more than 5 years because they were attacking the PLP that they didn't bring garbage. The Freedom of Information Act. Come on, man. Don't interrupt me, man. I'm not interrupting you.
And the law was passed.
Yeah. Hold on.
All right. There is nothing about COVID that prevented them from passing that act. That act was passed and the money was set up to implement. Listen, if you need 5 years to pass a Freedom of Information Act, if all you need is you saying $1 million to put there, if that's all you need, y'all don't need to come back in government, my brother.
100 years for your plan.
All right. No. We are going to execute that plan in 2030. You hear what it's called? 2030. It's going to affect the Bahamian people for the next 100 years. Okay. All right? But to say that, I mean, people are listening, Mr. Rami. You don't have a bad relationship. You have a good relationship. But people are listening, and they can hear you. You don't need 5 years. Whenever they want to pass a bill on us, when they want to do anything that's going to tax us or raise taxes or do anything to us, they pass that in no time. All right? They don't worry about how much money it's going to take to do it. Mm-hmm. If they won't pass bills for Shark and Turtle, they will pass that in no time. All right? They can go in the House of Assembly and park a bill, just say that. The bill they needed to pass in order to lock us down, they passed that in no time. All right? They went to the House of Assembly and passed that in no time. The Freedom of Information Act been kicking around for 20 years, and we want it, and we want it now. And the only way that's going to happen is if the COI comes to government, who is not attached to these people who want the secrecy.
All right, folks, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Violence, 300-5720, or text us at 422-4796. Caller, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing? This is C. Allen Johnson. How you doing, Guy, and whoever's in your studios?
Go ahead, my new friend, C. Allen Johnson, Freeport.
Yeah, just a couple of points like that the caller who said he was a lawyer knows. See, one of the things that we have is this thing of selling illusionary benefits. Let me first talk about the freedom of information. Passing a law does not resolve that problem. You have to have an understanding of the way freedom of information works. And so the promises that Lincoln made about just that you pass a law and make it work is similar to what he does about everything.
That's not what I'm saying, though. I never said that. I never said that.
But as I'm saying, you're saying they passed the law.
You have to pass the law. You have to then enact it, and you have to enforce it.
You say nobody passed the law.
Enacting the law. All right.
One person at a time.
That's from 2017.
Like how you call it copyright, but it was patent? Come on.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is we need the Freedom of Information Act to be enacted so that Bahamians can get the information that they need to get the information. I'm not playing with semantics. All right? I'm not playing with political semantics.
Just pause. Tell me how you'll do it.
We want the effect.
Three steps. Tell me what you'll do in three steps.
The law is already passed. The law has been...
You said it wasn't passed.
Ruben, let me hear him.
Hold on.
Pardon me, please. See, this is what Lincoln is good
at. The law has been... You asked me a question. Let me answer.
C. Allen, allow Lincoln one at a time.
Yeah, allow Lincoln. Let me pause.
You asked me a question.
Let Lincoln answer the question.
All right, the law has already been passed. It has been enacted, except they only enacted the whistleblower portion of it, which is Section 47 of that act. That's the only one that they have put into place. And so all we would do is give the funding and the money to the commissioner that they put in place to get this done. What they are doing is choking him out by not giving him the money to be able to put everything in place because they don't want this in place. Whenever you don't want something done, you choke it out with money. All right?
So all we have to do is
put an independent commissioner in place. Give me a sec. Put an independent commissioner in place. Fund him. And then allow the Bahamian people to have access to their information. If I own a business, I'm a shareholder and I own that business, and my manager is refusing to give me information, that is treason. That is treasonous. That's out of order. The politicians are the managers. I'm not talking around. I told you exactly what I would do. The only thing that's stopping it right now is the money, nothing else.
The money for what?
The money in order.
Shut. Make it short.
But you don't tell me how to speak, C. Allen Johnson. I know you're an F&M troll, all right, but you don't tell me how to speak. The money needs to be put in place, one, for training for the government staff. The money needs to be put in place for training for the government staff. There are certain things that need to be filed and put in the proper way so that it can be searched properly so they can find it and get access to us. To the information. We have to spend money on that. And the commissioner needs a proper staff to be able to operate. All right?
Well, let's take the next caller. And Ruben, I'm going to let you respond in just a minute. I know Darwin is itching as well, but we have some other callers in the line. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good afternoon. And good afternoon to the panel.
Good afternoon.
Especially my president, Mr. Lincoln Bain.
Good afternoon, my brother.
Right? I want you all to understand, right? The FLM, right? I'm speaking from being a former FLM, right? The FLM seems, and the PLP seems like they are not interested in moving this country forward as a nation. It appears that they only want to stay, they want to keep this country divided between the PLP and the FLM, or if they don't do it, we ain't going to do it, or when they think on doing it, that's when we can take it and do it. The Bahamian, we had enough of that, man. You know, we literally had enough of the FLM and the PLP trying to impress on us that they interested in governing this country, and given the opportunity, all they do is skirt around the place, man. The FNM had 2 years before Dorian to implement anything they want to implement in this country. 2 solid years before Dorian hit, the FNM was right there peddling and fiddling their thumbs. They was not interested inside passing that law, because if they were, they had 2 years to do it. But no, they didn't cost Dorian, but they used Dorian as the vessel for them not doing nothing else. And then COVID came. With even concrete what they was all about, right? Because now we have Dorian and we have COVID, so we just ain't gonna do nothing. And then they walking around touting on the fact that these things happen, and in fact they did. But you had time to do something before that. But you ain't doing nothing. And then the PLP, same situation, just different color. Fred Mitchell tell you bluntly, no, we are not doing that, right? So what that says to the layman person out there, right? The FNM and the PLP don't want us to know our business because they are better in holding our business than us. It's ludicrous. And we have to move this country forward, man. Thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you so much. Next caller, please. Go ahead, next caller. I'm going to clear this board real quickly. Go ahead, caller.
Good day. How you doing?
Good day.
I'm doing real good. Trying to get this board clear so we can get back to this conversation, but we want to include you, so go ahead.
All right. The question, good day, Mr. Bain, and listening audience and the guest. What's the guest name?
Well, we ain't no guests. We here all the time. And Mr. Bain is a guest today. We got Darwin Russell, the co-host, and we got Mr. Ruben Ramming, who's a man who also co-hosts along with us.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, sorry. I thought that was Mr. Latre Ramming. All right.
Who looks like Latre Ramming in here?
Pardon me?
Which one looks like Latre Ramming?
No, I don't know. I just heard Ramming.
Oh, okay.
No, that's Ruben Ramming, the senator.
My question to the Bahamas and the prime minister is, if everything that Mr. Bain has been saying for years, if it is not true or it cannot be done, mm-hmm. why are they not coming out to the Bahamian people and saying so?
All right, thank you.
That's all I want to know from the PM, the opposition leader, any MPs, any cabinet minister, any lawyer, anyone in the country. If Mr. Bain, what he's been saying, cannot happen, whether it's getting acres for our land, benefiting from the natural resources, whatever he's talking, carbon credits, if it is not true.
Okay. Like I promised, Mr. Bain, we're going to have a show on that in the future, but I do appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
All right.
Next caller, please. Next caller.
Hey, Mr. Roseboro.
Hey. It's not my good friend, Brad.
And do your guest.
Yes, sir.
I expect that you guys will have a balanced show in there. Now, you can't just let the COI speak and then block out FNMs and anybody else mm-hmm. who wants to speak.
Well, I know I invited you to be here.
I am quite interested in what C. Allen was going to ask Mr. Bain. And apparently Mr. Bain seemed like he don't want C. Allen Johnson to speak, and that is unfair.
Well, right?
People that knows better, you want to hear from them, but you just got all the COIs calling and running on, and you know,
we don't want to make it personal. This is remark. We don't want to make it personal. We want to make it make sense. It has to all make sense because we're trying to make the country better. So we don't want to make it personal. We just want to make it make sense.
And what
so
the COIs Allen, is calling in would make
C.
sense.
C. Allen, if you're hearing, if you're listening, Mr. Ruben Ramming said he'd like for you to call back in. Feel free to call back in, Mr. C. Allen Johnson. Go ahead, Mr. Bradley Kemp.
Thank you, Mr. I appreciate that. You know, let's balance the thing out, man. Let's not make it about COI. Let's balance it out. We're Bahamians. Thank you.
All right. Next caller. This is the last caller. Go ahead, caller. Caller, go ahead. All right, go ahead. All right, Mr. Ramming, you want to say something? Mr. Bain?
I listen to Mr.
Russell as well.
Mr. Bain, salient point, but and same, but, you know, like he... Oh, Lord, I find it so interesting. Nobody interested, nobody serious. Take 5 years to do this, and even when confronted with the facts of the matter, it still doesn't change his mind. The last FNM administration, when was that, May? Came into power in May 2017?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
May 2017. The Freedom of Information Act was passed in 2017. By April of 2018, the Prime Minister was announcing the phased implementation of the various components of the Freedom of Information Act. And people throw so much subterfuge into things, you don't even know what's going on. Oh, you don't need a Dorian, oh, you need a COVID. Listen here, from the time that administration came in, one of the first thing they did was implement the Freedom of Information Act. Then they started going through the process. But see, when you ain't there, you don't know sometimes.
Did they
first of all, no, see.
The five-year process.
First of all,
First of all,
now 10 years.
First of all, we're not responsible for 10 years, we're responsible for our time. Okay. First of all, we need to understand where we at. And it's the same things that undermine a lot of Mr. Bean's presentations. It goes where you want, but it don't consider where you at. Where we were at is a country where the immigration immigration alone, I must see a building the size of the immigration office, mm-hmm. with all the physical files were in paper form. A court system where if you want to look for information, you probably got to go find the person who buried it or filed it way back then because you're digging up water damage to files everywhere else. One of the things we had to implement was starting to digitalize these things so that people could find and get these information within a reasonable time period. And then also to educate the public and everything else as related to the effectiveness and what they could actually expect from the Freedom of Information Act. And the digitization, as you would know, is very, very important because that was impacting even the judicial system in terms of court cases and getting filings and getting documentation for information that you need. We had a major, and still have a major problem, but we started those processes right ahead of time. As we started to unveil and get some of these things done, we had the commissioner put in place. We also had the monies to start begin training, because you would have to assign persons under those acts to every ministry. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Because you can't just go to a regular file clerk and say, listen, I want this information. They need to know what to do, how to do it. All this was started under the administration, mm-hmm. notwithstanding all that is going on. But we're sitting right here, nobody never doing nothing. Even when we in Senate or in Parliament and people come say, people never do nothing, I just have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Even the PRP never did nothing. Mm-hmm. It might have been lousy, it might have been insufficient, mm-hmm. but nobody bats zero.
Right.
And so I have a problem when everybody come there, nobody never do nothing. Mm-hmm. And when the facts sitting right in your face, and then the argument switch, oh, you had 5 years ago, 5 years now, you're hearing right now, 10 years. Mm-hmm. What do I have to do with 10 years? Mm-hmm. We was there 5 years, and from literally day one in politics, you see passing of the act, mm-hmm. implementation of the act, preparing the environment for the act, mm-hmm. which we're still working on right now.
Let me just say something in that. It's very important that we understand this because people are listening to this.
Yeah,
you see, if you're supposed to cook dinner for your family, mm-hmm. cook dinner for them to eat, and you come to them and show them the receipt where you went to the grocery store and bought the food, that don't help. All right? We need you to go in there and cut up the herbs and put that food in the fire and cook that and put that on the table. We don't want to hear you saying that you did something. Here's where the theory that Mr. Reming said. Come on, man. I didn't interrupt you, man. Yeah. Here's where his theory goes wrong, because he mentioned court documents and this and that. I will tell you one thing. I could go to the Supreme Court right now and get any document I want access to. Anyone who knows about that knows that. You can go and get any document you want to in the Supreme Court. So him bringing that up as an excuse, that don't work. It doesn't have to be digitized. There are files and filing cabinets. So wherever you have this stuff where it is working properly, then you go to those offices and you start there. You be efficient. You say, okay, these offices are filed properly. Everything is good over here in this office. Let's go to this office and work on that. These are the offices over here. Everything is all over the place. We don't know where they are. Let's put a team to organize that while we put all these stuff that's filed properly in the system. We just need to be effective, man. And he is showing us that the FNM is not effective. I didn't say it to be political, but this is their public record. And he is expanding on that because you're making excuses. It should never take 5 years to pass one act that you spent the 5 years before criticizing the PLP about. And when I say pass it, you know what I mean. I don't mean just passing the law in the House of Assembly. I mean putting it into action. The people should have access to our information, and we should have it now. They are making excuses, which means, based on what he's saying, when they come back, it ain't get done. PLP isn't going to do it, and they're not going to do it.
I got that. Darwin got his little piece in there, but I got these phones all lit up again. Caller, go ahead. Go ahead,
Carl. Good evening, everybody.
Hey. Sounds like Graham Rutherford.
It is. And, you know, what's disturbing me is that we have some people calling in, and we have some people that are fighting Mr. Bean. Now, whether you like Mr. Bean or you don't like Mr. Bean, he's been doing what needs to be done. And I suspect he may carry on like Donald Trump when he gets in on day one. Think about it, gentlemen, and I'll be brief. What have we really gotten for the last 51 years of governance? And I don't attack individuals. What have we truly gotten? Not one new hospital, not Freeport fixed, and the Southern Islands, as you go south in the Bahamas, it's like you're in a time machine. You're going back in time. Nothing has been done except a bunch of potholes. And it's not that I hate any of the people that have been governing us, but the one thing that I've never heard, I hear that we got some jobs. I've never heard, what about the ownership? I just had this conversation today with yellow and red persons. Think of this scenario. I have a piece of property in Lyford Key worth $10 million, but I don't have money to put a house on it. So you come, that's Quincy, right? You come and you say, Graham, I have $1 million. I'm going to put a $1 million house on your $10 million property. And we're going to rent this out every night for $10,000 on Airbnb. And I'm going to let you be the gardener, the janitor, or the housekeeper, and pay you minimum wage and give you a bonus. And I might not even, anyway, give you what is due to you. Instead, I've never heard somebody negotiate like, wait, this is our people's crown land. We're going to get 50%, and you're going to get 50% because we're equal partners. Split that $5,000 each. Instead, we negotiate deals like soup kitchen owners. So I've looked at 51 years, and I spoke to some people at Paradise Island, the cab drivers that were sitting around, and I said, what have you gotten? And I could leave you with this. One cab driver, and I could be nice on the radio, said, I've been getting juice by this party and juice by the other party. I can try the new guy because he may juice me, but I know I can get juice with these two. So okay. You all have a good day.
Right,
and let me
care,
tell
bro.
You something. If you don't fix the Bahamas, the foreigners will own everything. And I don't mean the people who you think I mean when I say foreigner. Your Bay Street has been given away.
Thanks a lot there, Graham. Next caller, please.
Good afternoon. Am I on?
Yes, you're on. Good afternoon.
Oh, yes, yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Garden. Good afternoon to everybody in the studio.
Good afternoon, my brother.
Mr. Moscow, who had called, and I totally agree with him when he was talking about how he elect these individuals. And they go from, like, simpleton to, like, regency or, like, you know what I mean, to great power, right? And, I mean, they're simpletons, right? And I was listening to Mr. Rahman. And Mr. Rahman was talking about the secrecy thing inside cabinet and different things. And I've been against that from the time I've heard about it, from the time Ms. Moxie had to talk to. And because how is it that these individuals who were simpletons, right, we elect them to represent us. And then they go and they discuss in our business. And we don't have a right to know what they're talking about. And I know Mr. Rahman knows that if he was never a part of cabinet, he would say to himself, that makes no sense. Because if I own a grocery store and I hire individuals to manage my store, can you imagine individuals going in the room and having a meeting about my shop, and I don't know what they're talking about, and then they leave, and they swore to secrecy to never tell me what they were dealing with my shop? That makes absolutely no sense. I feel as if, just as how open as how the House of Parliament is, cabinet should be open just like that. And I feel as if that if we, the people, were able to see what goes on inside cabinet, that we would be shocked to see how those individuals carry on inside there. But I feel as if we need to end that stupidness about secrecy, because y'all talking about our business and we need to know exactly what y'all dealing with when y'all dealing with our business, because we need to understand how in the world y'all has come up with these ridiculous decisions that y'all make, all right? And one more point before I go, Mr. Bain. You might recognize my voice, Mr. Bain. I sat on the side of you when Michael Pintard had a showdown by Gems. All right, and you told me something about whatever, and you also know me because one day when you and Shelley Moss was out in front of 94.9 FM, I came down there with you and I showed you what I was dealing with in terms of my craft and my work. Now since then, I have expanded on that, Mr. Bain, and now again, like how Mr. Moscow was talking about, I am about solutions. I am about doing things. You understand where I'm coming from? And I have something that can send this nation in a new direction, and that can become a new industry, and that can supply guaranteed sustainable jobs, hundreds for people, and not just jobs, not just giving persons a fish, but teaching them how to fish. You know what I mean? Teaching them how to be entrepreneurs for themselves and a sustainable industry. But I want to come to you because if you are truly an individual, an activist who is standing up for all Bahamians, right, I want to present my case to you because there's a particular agency in government that I want you to help me deal with.
All right, we'll reach back out to the producer. Leave your number so Mr. Bain can contact you.
I want to know how to get in contact with you, and if you're interested in me.
8035995 is my number. It's on my Facebook page.
Hold on one second. Let me get a
pen. I got to take these other callers, though. It's on his webpage. Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Bain, quickly. What's your number?
8035995.
All right, you got that? All right, let's take the next caller, please.
Yeah, Allen Johnson again.
All right, Allen. Yeah, we got is this. Yeah, I got this board lit up now, see, Alan. Give me a quick synopsis. Go ahead.
I'm going to take as much time as his supporters does, Mr. Okay. Bean's supporters does.
Okay.
I'm saying, for that caller, if he wants to understand what tokenization is, that gives access to capital that is required for people to go into business, he can call 825-9700 for C. Allen Johnson. But just let me just quite say, because, you know, Mr. Bean say, just like he has supporters, the FNM has supporters, the PLP has supporters, I support Michael Clinton at the FNM, okay? Plain and simple.
Okay.
So what happens to this? The problem is that oftentimes you hear people say who, what, which, when, where, and why. But most of them lack the competence to say the hows. See, I support Michael Pintard because he believes in a sustainable, inclusive opportunity and ownership economy. We don't have to debate that. Maybe others may not understand that. I understand the digital imperative that we're in. The digitization, digitalization, automation, datafication, and digital transformation need of this economy being 21st century in it. I don't believe that you have wealth without work. But I also understand the value of where we are in the 21st century and not illusionary benefits. And so I'm simply asking Mr. Bean, tell me the how. And I put to you, see, because I'm not going to fight with Mr. Bean, because 99% of what he say is pirated and parroted from individuals like myself.
Oh,
and the 1%, it's not personal. I'm telling you, I'm stating facts. Because everything, if he gives you a supposition, I can explain you the date and time he got it. Okay?
Yeah.
So what I'm simply saying is the 1% of the time I say, because I don't lie, is when he's misleading. That's the
but let's not get to the personal situation. Let's stick to the ideals we want to build. We don't want to tear down.
When we talk about the need for digitization for the so-called Freedom of Information Act, and you say you need money. Money solves some problem. But again, you must first, I think one of your callers says, you must first recognize where you are and where you need to be. Because it's a simple rule. It says you can't manage what you cannot measure, but you can't measure what you are incapable of acknowledging. And that's the problem with people who have ambition that's greater than their ability. And so I'm simply saying is this. When I ask the how, it's a process for which freedom of information acts, independent of government. It's a utility. And then when you understand how that works, then you can understand. Then you can explain to me how it works in context of governance. I have no problem explaining that. I don't ask questions I don't know the answer to.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm simply saying this. But let me just say to this. 99.99% of what the Coalition of Independents say is pirated, meaning stolen.
Oh, yeah, I can't go with that one now. No, but you got to stay away from that. You stuck on that record. We can't go around just saying these things to each other. We're trying to build a better Bahamas. We're not trying to take away. Folks, this is one show where we have Mr. Lincoln Bain here, Coalition of Independence, Vision 2030. We have Mr. Reuben Ramming here, Senator, Free National Movement. We have Darvin Russell, co-host. I'm Garth Roseborough. Let's take a break. See you on the phone lines, but we'll be right back.
I don't know. All we'll need is candlelight and a song. Yeah, soft and long.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Always on the go? Missed a show?
You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Dominica Republic, destination for the team. When an all-expense-paid trip for two by San and three. Or more money transfers to enter, what a deal. With Western Union, you get to see just how it feels. Yeah.
Esto está caliente.
Te barías.
Really hard.
Hola, hola from the DR. Taking pictures for the gram just to show you we are. GK money be the motion, papi, mamacita. Go to Chris Kennedy, the team is ready to start because Dominica Republic, destination for the team. With an all expense paid trip for two by San and three. Or more money transfers to enter, what a deal. With Western Union, you get to see just how it feels, yeah. To see just how it feels, yeah. With Western Union.
Every time I think of you, my heart goes wild. Every time.
All right, folks. We're back. This is Remark here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Listen, those phone lines, they've been lit right up, and at this particular time, I can't take any more calls. I mean, it's just the calls keep on coming in, but listen, in the future, just tune into Guardian Radio all day on Sunday, 96.9 FM. You know, this week, the talk shows are going to be hot. It's going to be lit. You start off your morning with Morning Blend and just go on all the way through. You got C.A. Newry, you got Aaron Green, you got Howard Grant, you got the Z-Line, you got Naughty. I mean, it's just filled of talk about our nation and nation building. I just got to read a little note here to you. This here is for the, it looks like the Collect Victory Fest script. This here is Collect, the Bear of the Bahamas, invites you to Victory Fest 2025. And they're asking you to join them on Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Day Junkanoo winners, the Saxons Superstars. The Junkanoo season may be over, but the celebration is just getting started. Enjoy music by Playhouse, DJs, Lil Giant, and DJ Tank, and performing live, Franchon and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the four straight Junkanoo winners. What do they say? Saxons. Superstars. Well, folks, we're here. Freedom of information. It wasn't so free today. I feel like I got beat down. I mean, I looked at Wally, said, Wally, save me. Wally said, boy, you on your own. I didn't get no sweet music to keep me jumping and live. But listen, anytime you have Lincoln Bain in the house, Ruben Raving and Darvin Russell, you're going to have a great time on this show, Remark. I just want to thank these gentlemen for being here. I'm going to give them each 3-4 minutes to just go ahead and give closing remarks. Mr. Lincoln Bain and the COI, you do have a big event coming up. I think it's next week, Saturday.
Yes.
You want to tell us about that and give us some farewell remarks to your listeners and your supporters?
Well, it's this week, Saturday. So that's Saturday, the 1st of March.
Where's it going to be?
So it's going to be at the Fusion Superplex.
I've never been in there, you know.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful.
I mean, I've been in there, but I never sit in no Fusion seat.
Well, we got the big screen and the nice seats. The it's chair, comfortable.
The chair can jiggle up and vibrate for
you
me.
You could sit down for 3 hours and you could fall asleep in them chairs. Yeah, nice, nice, nice.
All right.
And so it's going to be there. We're going to start at 7 p.m. It goes live on ZNS TV and radio. It's going to be on every ZNS radio station.
So that's big.
That's 104.5. That's 1540, 810.
You ain't called Guardian?
Yeah, we spent a lot of money.
What the Guardian? What right? The Guardian so, money? What have the Remark money, man?
Yeah, we'll think about it. When I start
you would think?
When I start coming back on the Guardian shows, we'll start spending the
you
money.
You start with me? Yeah,
okay,
you
so Guardian start somebody. Now.
All right.
So next event, we'll right. Come see you.
All right.
Yeah, so it's going to be an amazing event. You're going to hear about a vision for this country, yeah. But not just a vision for projects and things. It's going to be a vision for the people. You know, it's going to be the vision for nurses, the vision for teachers, the vision for students, the vision for pilots, the vision for the Bahamian people, about how we're going to empower the Bahamian people and the things we're going to do to take power from the politicians and give it to the people. That's all we want. The politicians have been failing us, God. They've been failing us. And so if we got to go 70 years without the government building one hospital, the last hospital built by the UBP, and these fellas patting themselves on the shoulder, that's failure, man. All right? They're making excuses for the simplest of things. And that's been happening for since we've been a nation. And we got to, at some point, we got to get tired of the excuses. You know, I go back to the Freedom of Information Act. If you can't organize the data, the information from before, you start from today. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. And then you start organizing the rest of stuff. But from today on, whatever contract you sign, et cetera, you file that properly and you make sure we have access to that. Is it? That's how business works, right? And then you organize the other stuff. And then we'll get to that when we get to that. Okay. But from today on, we want to know what you're doing now. And so we don't need an excuse for that. And so we want to transform this nation and put the power in the hands of the people. And so we want people to come down. We want you to hear what's going on. Hear vision. And this vision is so powerful. When we finish, we're going to allow you to contribute to it. So when the vision is finished, you'll be able to go to our website and say, I like this, I don't like that, add this, add that. And then we present later the final vision that's of the people. But we have interviewed teachers, and some of them are going to be speaking at this. We've interviewed people in the medical profession, police officers, and officers from all walks of life, defense force officers, etc. So this vision actually came from the people.
Well, we'll be there. We'll be there. We're going to make sure that we get one of those soft seats. Save me one, man. I want something nice and cool to drink so I can listen.
Vitamol.
And you want Vitamol?
Vitamol, yeah.
Oh, you only want Vitamol? That's all you want?
That's all I drink.
You sure? You don't want no aristocrat and none of that
bottle? Even no, me. Sir. That's all I drink.
Stay sober. But
listen, Darwin Russell, you're a businessman. You've been here. You're the co-host of this show.
Yeah.
You just want to give some parting words. You want to give some encouragement to Mr. Bain and to the people of the Bahamas who are voting in the next election. Go right ahead.
Yeah, man. I actually really enjoyed the conversation today, Garth. Usually, we don't have... Yeah, don't be as fiery in the studio
today. Too fiery.
On the line, but it was really good today. The only thing that I would always caution, when you have passionate men in studio and who call, we have to allow each other to speak and just keep the keep it about issues and not about personalities. And I think because so many sober-minded Bahamians listen to this show for information and for education, I think we have to always keep the discourse at a higher level.
Yes.
That being said, I'll tell you a story. That I think is very appropriate for tonight. You know, I remember watching an interview that Jay-Z did concerning his earlier years, and he was being interviewed by, I think, one of those major magazines in New York. And he tells a story about how an uncle of his, when he told and shared his dream with his uncle was like, you know, I can support that, but really I can't see you getting it done. And he made this statement during the interview, and he said, just because you couldn't do it doesn't mean that it can't be done. And I think we have to be mindful in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and contextualize some things. Just because it hasn't been done doesn't mean it can't be done. We have to, for the next 50 years, awaken our imagination to possibilities that may not have occurred in the previous 100 years, to believe that they can be possible in the next 100. The future of our families and future generations of Bahamians depends on it. And two things can be true at the same time. It could be true, as Ruben said, that stuff has been done. Stop saying that nothing has been done. Stuff has been done. This country has functioned. You know, I know sometimes for political purposes we like to say that it's a failed state, but we are far from a failed state. And it can also be true what Mr. Bain is saying, that we have not done enough. We could have been further ahead along the journey. And that's okay to have those differences. I think as long as we're respectful and we continue to progress and push the Bahamas forward. And before I go, let me just send my heartfelt condolences to the family of that young girl who lost her loved one, whether it was her father, we don't know at this particular time during that horrific shooting that took place in Dunmore Lane. I'm sure every Bahamian has seen that video by now. And grieves for that young girl and her family to watch such an horrific thing happen to her loved one. I cannot imagine the trauma that she will have to deal with probably for the rest of her life. So I call on all the authorities, all of the people that are in her life to make sure that she gets the counseling, the support, the love that she is going to need. And I ask my fellow Royal Bahamas Police Force citizens to do whatever is within your power to bring to justice the men that committed such an horrific crime. So I will yield the rest of the time to Brother Ramey.
That's Darvin Russell, the co-host of Remark. And then, of course, we have our other co-host, Reuben Ramey, who's in the house, our guest co-host. Go ahead, Reuben Ramey. Well, you're going to do that. That's your thing, and then I'll come on after you if it's okay. I don't want to stain your prayer.
No, I thought you had somebody assigned.
But I do, but I ain't trying to go down that road today. We got three, four good men. As a matter of fact, Mr. Bain was a former pastor. He may still be a preacher. You're a preacher. I'm a preacher. Darvin, he's a deacon type of fella. I know.
I'll yield my time, and Brother Bain could actually close it out. I just want to remind everyone that we have one Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. There's no one way of doing anything. I think there's only one thing in life. There's only one way. To get to God, you got to go to Christ. Yeah. Other than that, there are many different ways in which you could win souls to Christ. I want us to remember that coming up in an election, everyone that is a citizen of this country has a right to contest, has a right to be heard. Mm-hmm. And every government that wins has the authority and the right to govern. Mm-hmm. But the opposition must always have its say. Let's learn to respect each other.
Yes.
Because when respect is eroded, then violence becomes inevitable. And we see what we see here today. With that, I simply say thank you very much again, God, and thank you, each one of you, for being such a good participant, and I yield my time to Lincoln B.
Okay, folks, one last announcement here. They said, let's celebrate 242 Day on Monday, February 24th. And every 24th of February, the 24th day of the second month, show your Bahamian pride. Fly your Bahamian flags. Wear Bahamas flag colors. Hey, Bahamian foods. Create and listen to Bahamian music. Donate in sequence of 242. Do something 242 times or 2.4 times. Merchants, consider pricing items $2.42 or $24.20 or $242, etc. But hey, let's have fun when we talk about 242 Day. Lincoln Bain, give us a 5-second prayer. You got that in you for the COI and the nation?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, sir, quickly.
Father God, I thank you for my nation. This is the only nation that we have. I thank you for our nation. I thank you for our leaders who have been tasked with bringing this nation to order. I pray for the Prime Minister of this country and the leader of the opposition that they would do what is right for the Bahamian people. I pray for the police officers who are out there risking their lives every day. I pray for the family of that gentleman who was just killed, and that lady, that young girl who was traumatized and who may be traumatized for the rest of her life. Send your spirit to comfort her. Send your comforter to comfort her. And Father God, I pray that the crime is eradicated in this nation, not just through prayer, but from our actions and from our leaders doing what is right. I pray prosperity over this nation and blessings over this one nation that we have, and that Bahamians would be put first in this. May God bless our Bahama land.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, folks, man, so much things to say. This is Remark. Next week, marital rape. We got those ladies back in the house, Peggy Candace, and we got Robin Lines. We got our good friend there, Alicia Barton. She's going to be here joining them, and we're going to have ourselves a great time. Alicia Barton Eden. We'll see you all next week. Marital rape. What are we going to do about this thing, man? What you going to do? Valentine's just gone. I don't know if we need Valentine again or ain't gonna be no more Valentine, but we gotta do something. This is the Bahamas. We gotta juice, the man said, we gotta juice. We'll talk to you next week on Remark at 5 p.m. on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. So long, folks.
Spiritual wickedness in I and your places. So why, so why, so why?